Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Yesterday, we were talking with Northwestern's Kellogg School of Management business professor, Phil Levy, was on the phone. And we were talking about this tariff situation we have with China. And I think the president is on to something when he says, I'm tired of us being pushed around. We never leverage the sort of opportunity that we have as the biggest economic power in the world. And we're sitting there watching them force our companies to divulge corporate secrets. We know that they steal our intellectual property, and we just seem to take it. And when President Trump campaigned, and now that he's been elected, he said, not anymore. And so now look what happens. He says, okay, we're just going to put tariffs on their items until they start to negotiate with us on terms that we think are more favorable. And if that doesn't work, well, then you'll just have to pay more for those goods. I believe the president, he has not said this. He sort of danced around it. But in essence, what he's saying is we all need to share the pain it's going to take to finally get China to play fair. To me, that would be a pitch, almost a patriotic one. We're going to go to economic war with China. You're not going to spill your blood, but you're going to pay more for stuff.
And you know, Tom Cotton tried that yesterday and got into a little trouble. I think he was on Fox. He's Arkansas senator, I think, right?
Uh-huh.
Tom Cotton?
Yeah, in fact, he's got a book out. The president's pushing it.
And he said something to that effect. He goes, look, the sacrifice that people are being asked to make here is nothing like spilling our blood on foreign soil like others are doing for us.
And what's so wrong about that?
He got beat up. We know it's Twitter, so people are going to beat up no matter what you say.
Yeah.
But it's one thing to equate people, you know, fighting for the country as opposed to a trade war, I think.
Sure,
I guess so. It was diminished. The farmers in his state were saying they were diminishing or belittling their suffering through this.
The farmers suffering?
Yeah.
Okay, but that's another question I have. I'm not sure the farmers are going to suffer that much if we decide to subsidize them. The president, he can be so transparent. The amazing thing is it works. He can come up to you and say, okay, I'm going to sell you a bag of beans here, and they may not grow a magic stock, but let's just go through the process anyway. And the people go, okay, and then they walk home with magic beans. I don't know if that analogy works, but I'm just going to read his tweet now. He said, our great patriot farmers. Farmers, that's you being played. But anyway, our great patriot farmers will be one of the biggest beneficiaries of what is happening now. Hopefully, China will do us the honor of continuing to buy our great farm products, the best. But if not, your country will be making up the difference based on a very high China buy. If we are going to subsidize the farmers because of the lost revenue, I know farmers don't want that, but it seems to me like we're all going to pay the price to shore up what farmers are losing since China might not be buying our soybeans, for instance. But I want to put Phil on again. Phil, you're on WGN Radio. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thanks. Good to be back.
Thanks for putting up with all of that. You want to say anything before I ask you the question I put you on for?
Let's jump in.
Okay, so the president has said, here, I've got his Twitter account in front of me. He said, here it is. China buys much less from us than we buy from them by almost $500 billion. So we are in a fantastic position, right? Because so much more stuff is coming from us to them, so it would be more of a burden for them. But then he says this, make your products at home in the USA, and there is no tariff. You can also buy from a non-tariffed country instead of China. Many companies are leaving China. The president makes it sound like, hey, consumers, just don't buy products from China, and you don't even have to bear the burden of the tariffs. How easy is that to do, Phil?
It's really hard. He gets a bunch of things wrong in that statement. Actually, the number $500 billion is wrong, too, for the bilateral trade deficit with China. But the way the modern economy works, countries specialize. So the U.S. makes certain things, Germany makes certain things, Japan, Canada, China, they make certain things. And it's not that easy to switch around. And they're not easy substitutes. Doing so is very costly.
So if I wanted to buy shoes or rakes or phones, I'm thinking of the things, shirts, clothes. If I want to buy clothes, I want to take on my clothes now and see where they're all made, but I'll bet they've been made in China. The president is saying I should buy clothes made in Indonesia or Vietnam or the USA. And I think I don't know that I would, because the president said I would buy made in America if I could. But he
sure.
makes it sound like, hey, and all you companies, just move your operations away from China. And I don't think any of those are very practical solutions.
No, they're not, and they take a lot of time. Actually, clothing is a good example, because you're right. A lot of the things you're going to buy, usually the lower-end things you're going to buy, you know, cheap sneakers for your kids or underwear, socks, that kind of thing, that's the stuff that's sort of most likely to be made in China. If you were buying upscale stuff, like a really nice winter jacket, you know, Patagonia, Columbia, North Face, some of those, you have a much better chance of getting that from the U.S. We tend to sort of specialize more in the upscale stuff. They tend to specialize more in the sort of everyday, low-cost things. So we do make clothes, not anywhere near as much as we used to, because we now make jet airplanes instead of clothes. But it's not an easy thing to switch overnight.
So I wanted to put a retailer on, and Lou Manfredini, who does the Fix-It show here at WGN Radio on Saturday mornings, is a retailer. He owns a couple of hardware stores in Chicago. Hi, Lou. How are you?
I'm great, John. Good afternoon.
Well, where are your hardware stores, Lou?
Well, one is on the northwest side of the city in the Edgebrook neighborhood, Edgebrook Ace, and the other one's in Villa Park, Illinois, Villa Park Ace Hardware.
So what do you think of this? I mean, you shot me a text that was just one sentence long today, but are a lot of your products that you stock at a hardware store made in the USA, made in China? Where are they made?
It's probably, you know, I was kind of running these numbers in my head. It's probably over 50% of the items that we sell in a hardware store are from China. And that number, it literally grows all the time. And it's not anything that I relish in the fact. I mean, we try at every moment. I mean, anybody that knows me, when I go to a trade show or whatever, if a vendor says to me, and we make it here in the USA, I almost always buy it and bring it into our stores, because, you know, I've always kind of preached the fact that in all retail, you know, no matter what it is, whether you're buying cars or, you know, you're selling cars or you're selling hardware, we all need the same thing for our customers to have, and that's a job. And so the more that we can buy in America, I'm all for it. But as your professor from Northwestern said, very difficult, because so much of it is from overseas, and it's ingrained in the retail landscape. And it's not just hardware stores. It's Bed Bath & Beyond. It's the big boxes. It's you name it. These products are ingrained in our economy, and it is not anything we're going to change overnight. And ultimately, my last comment on the whole tariff thing, you know, and this is not an indictment of the president, but the president keeps talking about the fact that China is going to pay these tariffs. It's the importers that are going to pay the tariffs, and they're eventually going to pass it on to the consumers.
Do you agree with that, Professor?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the thing to keep in mind, we do make stuff in the USA. We make a lot of it. The trick is, you're probably getting your hammer from China, but if you're going to go get a sophisticated machine tool to make auto parts, that's more likely to come from the U.S.
Okay, so what's the significance of that? What are you telling me?
I'm saying we've got specialization here, and so if you're just going to look at relatively simple products, you're going to see that a lot of them are from China. One shouldn't get misled and think that the U.S. doesn't make anything. We absolutely do. We're very successful.
Oh, yeah, I got that. But you're right. But I'm not buying a machine. I'm buying a hammer. I'm buying underwear. I'm buying whatever Target is selling, I'm buying. And most of that, I'll bet most of the stuff in our cart is not made in the USA, you know?
That's right. But on the other hand, when businesses go around, they are buying a lot of stuff from the USA. So that's That's how this all works. That's how we get prices as low as we get them.
Yeah, which is ultimately what people want, right? I mean, Lou, if people, I mean, we can all fly the American flag and say, you go get it, Mr. President, but I just wonder if people really want to pay more for their products to protect American jobs or get a better deal. I think I know the answer, but who knows?
Well, you'd be surprised. And I mean, I think that, you know, what we've done at our retail store is the one thing in hardware retailing anyway, I know by SKU number, every item that we sell, I can tell you the country of origin, because that's how the system that we use operates. And so what we do in our store is when we know a product is from the USA, you know those little tags that are on the end of the peg hook that tell you the price?
Yeah.
We put a little wider tag there with an American flag on it that says made in the USA. And you'd be surprised. People will come in and say, I want to buy an American-made hammer. And we're like, great. We take them over there, and we do, in fact, sell American-made hammers. And they are substantially more expensive than the hammer made in China. And the average, you know, DIY person will go, oh, wow. I didn't realize that, you know, this hammer is maybe $30 that's made in the USA, and the Chinese hammer is $9.99.
What do people buy, Lou?
Weight.
What do people buy?
They buy the $9.99. If it's a pro, if it's a professional contractor, they'll buy that because that's how they make their living. But if you're the guy that wants to hang some pictures on his wall, and that's what they'll do. Now, the fact of the matter is that if all of a sudden the 25%, and the professor said this yesterday, I happened to listen to his interview, is that ultimately, you know, if this thing goes on for a while, the products from China will increase in price. But then, again, I'm no economist, but is this the right approach? You know, are there other ways
right.
for us to do this?
Right.
To try and get to the same end game. One other quick thing about price changes is at a little hardware store like ours, you know, the system's very sophisticated to monitor all the prices that our competitors have all the time. On a weekly basis, we get price changes that we're supposed to raise or lower our prices based on the market. And we, as an individual retailer, choose whether or not we want to do that. Like, if it goes up 10 cents or goes down 20 cents, whatever it is, because there's labor and everything that's involved. But if all of a sudden a 25% increase comes, people are going to see that increase sooner than you think.
Because you're eating it if it's a nickel, but if it's 25 cents, you can't afford that. Now you're going to actually make the effort and start to change the prices.
Here's a perfect example. We sell copper pipe, you know, that plumbers use all day long. And we don't sell a lot of it, but we sell it. And if you don't keep track of that price because it's a commodity item, you may have that sitting on your shelf for a 10-foot stick for $7.99. Some plumber who knows how much that stuff is worth says, wow, look at all this pipe. It's only $7.99. And he buys 50 pieces of it. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, my gosh, that was amazing. We sold 50 pieces of pipe for $7.99. And then you go and reorder it, and it costs $15.99.
It sounds though,
I just lost money.
When you were describing the hammers, Lou, and Professor, I'd like your comment on this, it sounds like the resolution is that we're all pushing for here is let's make sure everybody has a chance to buy a $25 hammer made in the United States. And I want to buy the $9 hammer, and I prefer that it be made in the United States, but that's not my job. My job is to make as much money as I can, save as much of it so I can retire someday, and if that means buying a $9, really? Why are you laughing? And everybody's got to look out for their own self-interest, and that means buying a $9 hammer. So I'm not real excited if the model we're talking about here is let's make sure we have $25 hammers. Professor, what are your thoughts?
I think you got it exactly right, and I don't think that we need to buy $25 hammers to make the economy go. If we have $25 hammers or the equivalent when we think about other tools that we use, we're going to be less competitive in the other stuff that we make. So that doesn't really help us. We've got some real concerns about how China behaves. I think this is a very ineffective way to address those concerns.
Professor, a texter said when Walmart was started, Didn't the owner vow to sell only American-made products, Sam Walton? I don't know about that. But I think a lot of us, I mean, Walmart's maybe the greatest example of them all, right? Americans vote with their pocketbooks, and they're saying they want cheap goods made in China rather than expensive goods made in America. Would you agree with that?
I think they generally do, and I like to get, you know, as much as I sort of take pride in living in the Chicago area, I'm okay with getting, you know, my pineapples and my avocados from elsewhere. That's how international trade works. People specialize in different things, and it makes us all better off.
Hmm. Okay, any last comment from you, Phil? I've taken a lot of your time the last couple of days here to listen to us and kind of use you as a sounding board, but the market's a little better today. It sounds like maybe cool heads might prevail, but what's your going away thought today, sir?
Skeptical on cool heads. The going away thought is make a distinction. There's reasons to be concerned about China, but then it's a separate question of whether slapping tariffs on anything is gonna help. I don't think it will.
Okay. Well, call again. Thanks for your time again, Phil.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. And Lou Manfredini, what about you, sir?
$25 hammers are on sale.
You're on Saturday morning, right, Will?
I think that you know, from a going down to the retail level, this is really going to have a negative effect on consumers' purchasing power. And, you know, the retailers are caught because, you know, obviously anybody that goes into a business, I mean, even these small mom-and-pop businesses that maybe don't have a brand behind them like we do with the Ace brand to help mitigate a little bit of that, not much, but a little bit, are really going to suffer. And, I mean, we need to get through this, and I don't disagree. China is taking advantage of the U.S. We just got to figure it out.
Okay. I'll see you in a couple of hours, my friend.
You got it.
Okay, that's our Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. He's also a retailer, and Phil Levy is a Northwestern University Kellogg School of Management professor and has been kind enough to join us the last couple of days, and I appreciate both of them coming on.